Welcome to Cryptonomics. I'm just sitting here in a park in London, and I was thinking about this article written by Nouriel Roubini the other day, the economist and professor at New York University Stern School of Business, and about how the same old propaganda just keeps running. I just wanted to go through the article that he wrote and point out how he uses a few logical fallacies and tries to muddy the waters a bit to show you how to pierce through that propaganda for yourself. Thank you so much for all those people sharing this video. Let's get into it. So the title of this article by Nouriel Roubini is Blockchain Isn't About Democracy and Decentralization, It's About Greed. Now, sometimes when you read a title, it doesn't really match up with the article. That's because they're written by the editors. In this case, it does actually summarize his position pretty well. It continues, with the value of Bitcoin having fallen by about 70% since its peak last year, the mother of all bubbles has now gone bust. More generally, cryptocurrencies have entered a not-so-cryptic apocalypse. The value of leading coins such as Ether, EOS, Litecoin, and XRP have fallen over 80%. Thousands of other digital currencies have plummeted by 90 to 99%, and the rest have been exposed as outright frauds. No one should be surprised by this. 4 out of 5 initial coin offerings were scams to begin with. So these things are facts, but without having the historical context of knowing that previously the market has had this type of fall before, you might think that this means that it's all over for cryptocurrency. This is probably not the case. Faced with the public spectacle of a market bloodbath, boosters have fled to the last refuge of the crypto scoundrel, a defensive blockchain, the distributed ledger software underpinning all currencies. Blockchain has been heralded as a potential panacea for everything from poverty and famine to cancer. In fact, it is the most overhyped and least useful technology in human history. This is one of those passages that's going to go down in history, similar to how Krugman said that the internet was going to have little more effect on the economy than the fax machine. In practice, blockchain is nothing more than a glorified spreadsheet, but it has also become the byword for a libertarian ideology that treats all governments, central banks, traditional financial institutions, and real-world currencies as evil concentrations of power and must be destroyed. Yeah, blockchain fundamentalists' ideal world is one in which all economic activity and human interactions are subject to anarchist or libertarian decentralization. They would like the entirety of social and political life to end up through public ledgers that are supposedly permissionless, accessible to everybody, and trustless, not reliant on a credible intermediary such as a bank. Yeah, that's kind of right. The vision behind Bitcoin, the vision behind cryptocurrency, is that people can use a system that does things automatically, so you don't have to trust any particular person or any particular actor in the system. You can trust the system as a whole, which isn't the case in the banking system, because you have individuals, you have central points of failure where people can steal money, embezzle, take your money, like in the case of Cyprus, where they gave everybody a haircut.
People who have their money in Cyprus's banks have to contribute to saving Cyprus. So everyone who has more than 100,000 euros in his or her account will be taxed by almost 10%.
And this man was saying to me, my money's inside the bank, they're not letting me take it out. It's outrageous.
Yet far from ushering in a utopia, blockchain has given rise to a familiar form of economic hell. A few self-serving white men. There are hardly any women or minorities in the blockchain universe, pretending to be messiahs for the world's impoverished, marginalized, and unbanked masses, claim to have created billions of dollars of wealth out of nothing. So this is like, this isn't like a trendy, this is like a trendy leftist talking point, like, so, because there's a bunch of white men involved that somehow is supposed to cut it down and make it less than it is. This isn't the type of
intellectual rigor that you expect from a professor. And it's also overlooking the fact that there are a lot of people in China using this technology. A lot of the miners are Chinese, and people in Venezuela using it to try to get themselves out of an awkward situation.
But one need only consider the massive centralization of power among cryptocurrency miners, exchanges, developers, and wealth holders to see that blockchain is not about decentralization and democracy. It is about greed. This is a form of reductionist thinking, so he's just trying to narrow it down and try to claim that the whole movement is about one thing. It's many people. It's about many things. Yes, it's about money. Yes, it's about decentralization, removing power from any one source. And when he talks about centralized mining systems here, it's still a decentralized system because there's no one person who has the power over the whole system. For example, a small group of companies mostly located in such bastions of democracy as Russia, Georgia, and China control between two-thirds and three-quarters of all crypto mining activity, and all routinely jack up transaction costs to increase their fat profit margins. Well, that's not really true. I mean, even in the case of Bitcoin, where at the peak, the average transaction fee was around $15, that's not the case anymore. So saying they're routinely jacking up their prices, that's inaccurate. That's a lie. Apparently, blockchain fanatics would have us put our faith in an anonymous cartel subject to no rule of law, rather than trust central banks and regulated financial intermediaries. This is a bit upside down. So he's saying subject to no rule of law. Well, the idea is actually that you can create a system where you don't need traditional systems of law. He uses the word faith here, and I think it's kind of accurate in a way, because a lot of people do get religious about this Bitcoin stuff, and they say, let's quote from the book of Satoshi and this sort of thing, Bitcoin Judas and Bitcoin Jesus. One thing is for sure, you should not trust central banks. The 20th century is the century of world wars. There's also the century of central banking. That is no coincidence. They funded those wars by using central banks, central debts. A similar pattern has emerged in cryptocurrency trading. Fully 99% of transactions occur on centralized exchanges that are hacked on a regular basis. And unlike with real money, once your crypto wealth is hacked, it is gone forever. That's a half-truth. What has happened in the past with some exchanges going down, like when Cryptsy got hacked, yes, people lost all their wealth and they only had recourse through a class action lawsuit which tried to reclaim the funds. With Binance, they want to create a fund where they put aside a portion of every fee that they collect and they use it as a backup just in case they get hacked. On the other side, Cyprus, when the banks took the money in that bail-in, they definitely did not get that money back. So, okay, don't trust crypto, don't trust exchanges, don't trust your banks either. Lastly, wealth in the crypto universe is even more concentrated than it is in North Korea, whereas a Gini coefficient of 1.0 means that a single person controls 100% of the country's wealth or income. North Korea scores 0.86. The rather unequal United States scores 0.41, and Bitcoin scores an astonishing 0.88. So this is a clever statistical lie. As you've heard, there are three kinds of lies: lies, damned lies, and statistics, and this is one of those. So the thing is, he's comparing countries which have been established for a long time to not even to an entire market, but comparing it to one coin in a market. As should be clear, the claim of decentralization is a myth propagated by the pseudo-billionaires who control this pseudo-industry. Now that the retail investors who are suckered into the crypto market have lost their shirts, the snake oil salesmen who remain are sitting on piles of fake wealth that will immediately disappear if they try to liquidate their assets. So here it's like he's changed the meaning of decentralization. So decentralization, when it comes to Bitcoin, it means that no one person has control over the blockchain. No one person has control over the code. But he's changed it around to make it seem like it was all about the wealth.
which nobody ever made that claim. And then he's also talking about this fake wealth, which would disappear if people try to cash out. That's true. That's also true of the stock market. So if someone wants to argue that the stock market is fake wealth, I guess they can make that case. Moreover, in cases where distributed ledger technologies, so-called enterprise DLT, are actually being used, they have nothing to do with blockchain. They are private, centralized, and recorded on just a few controlled ledgers that require permission for access, which is granted to qualified individuals. And perhaps most important, they are based on trusted authorities that have established their credibility over time. All of which is to say, these are blockchains in name only. What he doesn't realize is that blockchains are giving rise to new forms of organizations. Decentralized autonomous organizations like Dash, where the money comes from within the system and pays the employees and other people contracted to it. It is telling that all decentralized blockchains end up being centralized permissioned database when they are actually put into use. As such, blockchain has not even improved upon the standard electronic spreadsheet, which was invented in 1979. You can't use a standard electronic spreadsheet to send money across the world for a few cents. You can't. So it is no surprise that whenever blockchain has been piloted in a traditional setting, it has either been thrown in the trash bin or turned into a private permission database that is nothing more than an Excel spreadsheet or a database with a misleading name. Yes, well, of course, these traditional systems don't have a use for it. Just like if you were to tie a horse to a motor car, it wouldn't be very efficient. Of course, they don't have a use for it. It's not for them. So one thing I think is really important, and I've mentioned before, about having an open mind. With a lot of intelligent people, the tendency is to criticize something that's new. You look at something and you try to break it down and look for its flaws. I think it's really important as a human being and as an investor and many other things to look at the value in something first. Because if you go around breaking down things and looking at their flaws, you're going to end up with a miserable existence and you're going to miss a lot of opportunities for happiness and connection and even wealth. So that's what I have to say about that. Thank you so much for listening. Remember to share this and remember to stay cool. Take care of yourself and be grateful.